Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess Romero is here. My wife, Mary Danielle, is here. Father Charles Murr is here because we have the conference on true devotion to St. Joseph. It's going to be a great show. I have my wife here because we have something to explain regarding. Matter of fact, before Jesse comes on, Mary Danielle, this is important. We have AM and FM stations all over the country picking up our show, but we had a station who decided not to take our show anymore because they felt that we were too hard line regarding the vaccine. So Mary Danielle answers a lot of the questions. So I'd like Mary to explain what kind of response we gave to them, because I think it's what the church teaches.
What I did is I went to a document from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and the document is, I had the name of it in here, but the document was published in 2008, and it's the most authoritative document that the church has put out on the question of vaccines, all right, and the morality of receiving vaccines. Dignitatis Personae.
Yep.
And in number 5, the church points out that practical reason makes evident that vaccination is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and that therefore it must be voluntary. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it has to be a voluntary basis. You can't force people to get vaccines. And again, practical reason. The church tells us and teaches us God gave us an intellect, the ability to reason, to think, to reflect for a reason. We're supposed to use it. We're not just supposed to pay, pray, and obey. That's never been a Catholic teaching or a Catholic mode of existence. But, okay, so number one, if you're going to get a vaccine, it's voluntary, totally voluntary. You are not supposed to be coerced. But she goes on in this document to say that the vaccines are acceptable, and I'm paraphrasing that, but the vaccines are acceptable when? In the absence of other means to stop or even prevent the epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and herein lies the issue.
Right.
Terry and I have done a lot of research, and we've listened to a lot of doctors who treat thousands of patients. Dr. Zelenko is responsible for having treated over 7,000 patients through his own office, and then he's given his protocol to doctors all over the world. Dr. Zelenko, you can look him up. Dr. Zelenko, Zelenko, and he's from the United States, and he has a website, drzelenko.com, and he gives you a protocol for treating COVID if you get COVID. But all of the doctors, Dr. McAuliffe, Dr. Zelenko, the American Frontline Doctors, which there are hundreds of those, have insisted, the doctors who are actually treating patients have insisted, early aggressive treatment of this disease. And yes, we have medicines that will treat it that aren't expensive, and that aren't going to cause death. So the idea that we need a vaccine, well, that's questionable.
Absolutely.
And so
Jesse's a good example of he survived by using these medicines, or he wouldn't be here. So the idea of having a experimental vaccine, the only way that could be used is to say there wasn't any kind of a treatment. And
there wasn't
a lie. That's just a plain lie.
Right. And the reality is that the church doesn't approve the use of the Pfizer or the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson. Okay. There's an article by a moral theologian.
His Dominican, name,
He's a Dominican, Father Leon Pereira, P-E-R-E-I-R-A. And he's not only a priest, a moral theologian, he's a biologist and a medical doctor.
Yeah, that helps.
And so Father gives you, number one, in his article, The Morality of Receiving Abortion-Derived Vaccines, he gives you the history of the cell lines of the aborted babies that were killed. And it's not just one. And it wasn't all the way back necessarily to 1960.
Right.
You know, these cell lines are more recent. So there are some that are as recent as 2009, because what happened is the cell line expires and they renew it by continuing to abort babies. But there's the whole moral issue. And he goes into this very deeply. But at the end, he has a whole chart and he gives you all the names of all the vaccines here. And on this chart, you have three stages of the vaccine: the design and development, the production, and the testing. And what I'm hearing over and over again from people is that, well, Moderna and Pfizer are okay with the church because they only used them in the testing stage. Well, that's not true. And this is it. You can't make a conscience decision, a decision of your conscience based on false teaching, based on false information.
Lies.
The reality is that both Moderna and Pfizer used the aborted fetal tissue of babies that were murdered through abortion in the design and development stage and in the testing stage. Now, only Johnson & Johnson used it in all three stages, design and development, production, and testing. So it's very possible that because Johnson & Johnson used the aborted fetal tissue in the production, that there is aborted fetal tissue in the actual vaccine, which not a necessity. We don't know that for positive, but there's a very strong possibility. So what's happening is people are telling us that are saying, be cautious about the vaccine and don't force anyone to get the vaccine. It's a voluntary decision. They're telling us, well, you're just lying and you're not going along with the church and you're going against the church. Honey, the church is not infallible in matters of science and morale and matters of science and medicine. Okay. Yes, in faith and morals, but our conscience has to be developed well, and it has to be informed. And we make our decisions based on knowing that we can never do an evil so that good will come of it.
Yep.
And the church has defined that an abortion is an evil, always and everywhere, an induced abortion. I'm not talking about spontaneous
abortion. Mary, I hate to say this on the air, but the way they got these babies was not just so someone had an abortion. They were born alive, and they had to take the cells from a born baby. And it just made me sick to have to see and hear that. But here's the bottom line. We're going to have all this on our website for those. And any other stations that are listening right now are concerned about what we're doing. Let's remember certain things that are we're supposed to have, like you said, the safety issue. But for the children are threatened. Are children threatened? No. We're closing schools. We're making them wear masks. That's just not true, Mary.
Right. And the other thing is, why was there a need for a vaccine? Again, our reason. Are we using our reason? 99.5% of the people who get this virus, COVID-19, can survive it. They don't die. Okay? 99.5%. So what do you need a vaccine for? The children? The children don't need to be vaccinated. It's 99.98%
or ridiculous.
More. Without treatment, the children will get over this.
Yes.
And it turns out that, by the way, if you go to the CDC website, it is not recommended for anyone under the age of 16 to get the vaccine. Go and look it up. Don't trust me. Go look it up. Yeah. Go to the FDA. Excuse me. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration approval. No one under the age of 16 is supposed to get this vaccine. And so, again, we're just saying, be cautious, right. Do your research, know your facts, listen to the doctors who are treating patients. You can be treated for COVID-19 and you can get well from it.
And we don't condemn anybody who takes the vaccine themselves. If they, in their moral conscience, says, hey, this is what I've done, hey, it's a free country, you can do that. But we're going to put all this on our website so people have this information, and I think it's important. Thank you so much, Mary. Hey, Mary's going to be coming on Bible with the Barbers. I'm going to have another thing going today that I can't be here with her, but I want you to come and listen to her speak on the Bible. This is Bible Studies right on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Mary, thank you so much for that explanation.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you. All right, let's bring in Jess Romero. Let's bring in Father Charles Murr into the show here. And I wanted to just give you, before we do the readings from the Mass, some teasers here. We're going to be talking about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It was 5 years after her canonization. She's got some words to the government that I think are needed more than ever. Also, we're going to talk about a pro-life group. Says Google banned her ads. Yeah, you know who it is, Lila. There you go, Lila Rose. And also, we're going to be hitting on some topic that this will be, this is unbelievable, but President Biden, so-called President Biden, we've got something on him that if he was a conservative, he would be out. But of course, he's a liberal, and they're not going to do a darn thing. That's going to be fascinating to go on that topic. Also, for your good-to-know file, we've got some information here that's later in the show that I think you're going to find fascinating. For example, Are you aware the governor of New York wants, are you ready, to help someone in Texas fly out to New York to help kill their baby? Can you imagine the governor of New York. This reminds me back when, you know, in the early 70s when abortion was being battled around. But I want to just say that we can't give up. We have to keep fighting on that issue. And Father Charles Murr is here also because we have the conference on St. Joseph. Father Murr, we've got a minute and a half here before we break. Can you tell our listeners what you're going to be speaking on this conference on St. Joseph?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
Two subjects.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think
one
so.
One is St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And his remedy for depression.
That's huge.
I should say St. Joseph the Worker, to give you a hint what that remedy is. And the other is St. Joseph and how to choose a spouse wisely.
Oh, awesome.
He chose well.
Yeah, you think?
Yes.
Well, that's great. And that conference, you can still come to it by calling 877-526-2151 or go online to... Yeah. vmpr.org. When we come back, we're going to take the first reading of the Mass today.
Terry, we'll just move on. There's a lot of other stuff we got to cover.
Yeah, but Jess, don't you want to have that reading and share it? Because you got some good insights on that. I've heard you. No?
Okay. All right.
I think we should. It's so important. People need to, I mean, it's soul food here. When we come back, we'll give you some more soul food here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr, Jess Romero, and myself are here to help you fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Stay with us, family. You'll hear more about Jesus and his saving works.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got some powerful readings in the Mass today from 1 Timothy that really convicted me, Jesse, this morning at Mass. So I'd like to ask you to read that, if you could, please, and give us your take.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 2 to 12. You could always count on St. Paul to write something razor sharp.
Yeah.
He says, and the reading today and yesterday's reading on the first reading at Mass, have to do with teachers and teaching. That's the context of yesterday and today's first reading at Mass. Here's what he says. Beloved, teach. There you go. The Greek word, didaskale. Teach and urge these things. Whoever teaches. There it is. There it is again. This is the importance of what we're doing, by the way.
Yeah.
Whoever teaches something different. Modernist, Father James Martin.
Amen.
Whoever teaches something different and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious teaching is conceited. That's what modernists are.
Yep.
Understanding nothing and has a morbid disposition for arguments and verbal disputes. From these come envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicions, and mutual friction among people with corrupted mind. Look what St. Paul just called, what he just called modernist. Or in his day, they were called, back then they were just called dissenters. Or they were called, he's saying people with corrupted minds who are depraved of the truth. How do you have a corrupted mind? Live in unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin. Not knowing the teachings of the church is a sure way to have a corrupted mind. And you'll be deprived from the truth. It says, supposing religion to be a means of gain. How many people use religion today as a means of gain? Can I say Mr. Ted McCarrick, who became a multi-millionaire out of religion, and many others? Indeed, religion with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires. Reminds me of our president, Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. This guy's a blue-collar guy that rose up the ranks, having a salary of a senator. You know, it was a kind of a upper blue-collar salary of a senator. Today, he's a maybe a billionaire at this point. And it's all because he's gamed the system, and he's done it working for his father, Satan. Goes on to say, Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation. Reminds me of Joe Biden right there. And into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. Yeah, ultimately, their soul will be damned in hell if they don't repent. For the love of money is the root of all evils. And some people in their desire for it have strayed from the truth and have pierced themselves with many pains. Two Catholics that jump out at me, Ted McCarrick and Joe Biden. These guys have been fueled by money all their life. And as St. Paul writes this, both their faces just appear right before me. And he finally ends, I like St. Paul uses either military language or the language of an athlete. In this one, he uses the language of a sports athlete. He says, but you, man of God, avoid all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. You got to grab it. To which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So he ends with military languages. It's like running a race. Compete well and grab eternal life and don't let it go.
Thank you, Jesse. Father Murr, I know you're here with us, and I want to give you an opportunity. If you want. I felt convicted with that reading. Any other thoughts on that reading from you?
Actually, it scared me.
Yeah, it should.
I was saying Mass this morning,
and
I had to read that reading, and it just went, whoa.
Yeah.
Jesse, something that you said that I thought I just would like to add this.
Sure.
You've got both McCarrick and Biden, government Biden, McCarrick religion, professing service. We're here to serve.
Hmm.
We're here. We're your servants. Help us serve you. Well, they did quite well for servants, huh?
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? Huh?
It's not bad.
Yeah. We're here to serve.
Amen.
Both of them took advantage of that terribly.
Yep. Yep. Thank you, Father Murr. Jesse, let's talk about Mother Teresa dared to tell U.S. President that abortion is murder. This was back in 1994. Let's chat about that.
Play the clip. We have it there. There's a four-minute.
It's a
Mr. Engineer. Do you have the clip?
I'm so used to seeing the smiles on our people, even the dying ones smile. And sister said, this is the way it is nearly every day. They are expecting, they are hoping that a son or a daughter will come to visit them. They are hurt because they are forgotten. And see, this neglect to love brings spiritual poverty. Maybe in our own family, we have somebody who is feeling lonely, who is feeling sick, who is feeling worried. Are we there? Are we willing to give until it hurts in order to be with our family? Or do we put our interests first? These are the questions we must ask ourselves, especially as we begin this year of the family. We must remember that love begins at home. And we must also remember that the future of humanity passes through the family. I was surprised in the West to see so many young boys and girls given to drugs. And I tried to find out why. Why is it like that when those in the West have so many more things than those in the East? And the answer was, because there is no one in the family to receive them. Our children depend on us for everything, their health, their nutrition, their security, their coming to know and love God. For all of this, they look to us with trust, hope, and expectation. But often father and mother are so busy, they have no time for their children, or perhaps they are not even married, or have given up on their marriage. So the children go to the streets and get involved in drugs and other things. We are talking of love of the child, which is where love and peace must begin, there in our own family. But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus.
Mm. Wow, that last statement, denial of receiving Jesus.
Think about the courage it took to do something like this.
Oh, yeah.
She spoke this in front of 4,000
That's right.
Clinton devotees. Bill Clinton was the president. Yep. His wife was there. Al Gore was there, the vice president, and his wife. And again, 4,000 Clinton-loving devotees in attendance. And Mother Teresa just dropped the bomb. She issued a stern rebuke to those that, again, would accept abortion as something acceptable and amenable in American life. We need somebody with the gravitas, the weight of a Mother Teresa today, because, you know, step one, the passage of the new Texas law, that's a step in the right direction.
Right.
But we need somebody, Terry, with the holiness or the theological weight of a Mother Teresa to say what Texas did is what we need to do in all the other 49 states.
Well said. Father Murr, what was your take? Because I know you remember that presentation. It wasn't that long ago.
That was remarkable words, and as Jesse just said, to a remarkable audience. But you've got 8,000 ears who heard nothing.
Yeah, that's right. I remember looking at Clinton's.
Try doing that.
Yeah. Do you remember that film? I remember looking at President Clinton and his wife, and they just kind of like, whatever, let her get it off her chest, you know. No big deal.
Poor thing.
I remember that, Jesse. Do you remember how that just, I mean, Mrs. Clinton and...
They looked at her. They looked at her with contempt.
Yes, they did.
And condescending, like, stupid old nun. Yeah. Let her get it off her chest. Yeah. It didn't faze them a bit. Trust me.
It did. I really like what she said, that the greatest destroyer of peace is abortion. And I like the way she said that abortion leads to a nuclear war. Boy, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't grab someone's attention today.
Well, she didn't say that in that speech.
Another time she said that.
Yeah.
I've heard her say that nuclear war is the fruit of abortion. So I just think that, you know, she's warning.
I'll look that one up because I used that before and I got...
really? I remember we used...
That it's an urban legend.
Oh, is that, but, I did not know that, Jesse.
Yeah,
I've used that.
It's not in any of her speeches.
So she says in this direct talk that direct killing of innocent child is a murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another?
Yeah, that's strong enough right there. You don't need anything else other than that. But, and I'll tell you, when I was a cop and I would talk to gang members, I would give lectures to gang members. I'd go to probation departments and probate. A lot of the young guys were very sharp. A lot of these young murderers, they would say, "Hey, Deputy Romero, what's the big deal about killing somebody that stole your car if it's legal to kill a baby in a clinic in America?"
They have a
point. These young gang members that are locked up, they were sharp. They would flip it on me. They would say, so the only difference between what I did killing that guy that stole my car is basically size and location.
That's right.
Because the baby, this is legal in America. The only difference between the baby and the guy that I killed, Officer Romero, is that the guy was bigger. He's full grown and he's in location. He's outside his mother's womb. But abortion is the same thing. These gang members were sharp.
They got it.
They see the hypocrisy of the Democrats.
Yeah, of course they do. And that's unfortunate. And if you think about it today, even our politicians make that same distinction. Okay, many of them know that it's killing unborn babies, but their bottom line is they're not wanted, so we justify killing them. That's scary when you have someone who knows that they're killing an unborn baby, but it's because they don't want to see that baby come out because they don't want it. That tells you the kind of temperature we have in our culture right now. Father Murr, your take?
When I was in New York, I remember talking to two women mm-hmm. who were mothers of convicted criminals.
Yeah.
Horrible crimes. They came to see me two on different occasions mm-hmm. to tell me that their sons were absolutely innocent, when, of course, they were not innocent.
Yeah.
This is the way a mother's supposed to react.
Yeah, I get it.
This is unconditional love.
Yeah.
This is it. That's supposed to be there from the moment of conception.
Wow.
That somebody can abort that is incredible.
When we come back, we'll continue to defend life. Because let's be honest, if we can't defend life, what other rights are going to come into action? None! You got to have the life issue covered before you cover any of the other issues. And we're going to talk about a pro-life group saying that Google banned its ads in a dramatic and unprecedented move. That's the culture we're in. We're in a fight. Wake up. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to Terry and Jesse Show. We got a three-man card here. We got Father Murray here, who's just an encyclopedia of information.
That's for sure.
There's a pro-life group that says that Google banned its ads in dramatic and unprecedented move. This incredible woman, I told my wife, I think Lila Rose will be canonized one day.
Oh, yeah.
This young woman is just
tenacious.
She's a relentless fighter for the pro-life cause.
Yep.
And she's getting picked on by big bully Google. What else is new? It doesn't surprise me. It says the pro-life group Live Action claimed Tuesday that Google banned all live action ads, that's Lila Rose's group, accusing the tech company of siding squarely with extremist pro-abortion political ideology. So Lila Rose, the founder and president, she fired back in a statement. She said this: Google's not hiding their bias anymore.
Nope.
Google censorship boldly reveals that the corporation is in the pocket of the abortion industry, close quote. So Live Action said in a press release on Tuesday afternoon that Google had banned the promotion of all of the organization's ads, Lila Rose, Live Action founder, including its video on baby Olivia. There was an ad, as well as another video on abortion pill reversal hotline, which is managed by a team of medical professionals, according to the pro-life group. So Google told the Daily Caller News Foundation, tried to defend themselves. They said, well, we don't permit ads with unproven medical claims.
Really?
So Google, these guys, I guess they're doctors and scientists.
Yeah.
They're not going to become the arbiters of what's true science and what's not. And so Google also said that medical experts have raised serious concerns about abortion reversal pills, citing an advocacy post from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, by the way, which is decidedly left these days in medical
school,
claiming abortion pill reversals are not backed up by science. Terry, Father, comments?
Oh, yeah, Father, go ahead, and then I'll give you my take on this.
No, I'm just something came to mind. I remember talking to a priest who was Hungarian, expelled from Hungary.
Oh, boy.
He said when the communists started the attack on the church, it was over taxation. They said, you want a church? Here are the taxes. Now you have to pay taxes. They people managed to do that. The next year, the taxes were doubled.
Wow.
The next year, they were doubled the double.
And wow.
Until they got to a point where they said, look, we can't afford anymore. We don't have any money to pay the taxes. And the government, the communists said, well, excuse me, it's you who are closing down your church, not us. You won't pay the taxes.
Wow.
Google is doing the same thing. Little by little by little by little by little, they come to the point where, well, just a minute, you're not complying with us. You're the ones doing this to yourself. You know, if you just comply with our rules and regulations, we wouldn't have to cancel you. But you've done this to yourself, and we've decided what's what. It's a dictatorship.
Absolutely.
It's a dictatorship.
And, you know, Father, what comes to my mind is what Jesse and I have been talking about with the social media. We have to change it. I mean, think about a year ago, we were on YouTube doing our shows, and we had Bishop Strickland talk on the Sixth Commandment, and they said, you can't talk like that. It's offending our listenership. Strike one. We're not going to let you on our network if you're going to be talking about those Ten Commandments. And my point is, we need other alternatives to the media. And Jess, you've been a big promoter of that. Didn't you say that not so long ago you got rid of your social media accounts and said, I'm going to jump and ship to other ones that are more conservative? Don't you think that's the way to go?
I was consistent with what I believe. A lot of people are inconsistent. They still keep supporting these big liberal tech giants. The day after they stole the election from President Trump in this country and they put the unelected Joe Biden in office, I got off of Facebook.
Good.
I closed that account, and I got off of Twitter.
Yep.
The only thing I use now, I used to, and of course, you know, there's not that many people there. It's just starting to grow, pick up. I use gab.com. That's run by a Catholic, by the way. Most people don't. He's not an evangelical. He's a serious Catholic.
Good.
He's one of us. Yeah, gab.com. That's where I post. And also on Parler.
Yeah, that's our video.
Parler is run by Candace Owens' husband and Candace Owens,
wow,
which are, they're young conservatives, fellow travelers, and people of faith as well. And so I was consistent with my values. I let go of these big tech giants. There's still a lot of Catholics that are dropping money by just using them. And I'm going to tell you, these big tech giants, townhall.com, freedomwire.com, Breitbart News, they've looked into the way they operate. All of them say, there is one poll I'm looking at here, 84% of big tech employees, they are decidedly liberal, progressive, and Democrat. 84%
unbelievable,
of the people that are, you know, managing Microsoft, Apple, yeah, Facebook, Samsung, Google, 84% identify as liberal, Democrat, and progressive. If that doesn't tell you everything you need
everything,
to know.
Everything.
I don't know what else.
No, you got it.
And the other 16 are there for token.
Yeah, and if they open their mouth, Father, you've seen some of them get fired.
Sure.
They get fired, and they're all over the news. Why'd you get fired, young man? Because they found out I was a conservative.
That's right.
See, they're pushing us in a corner, and we have to fight. That's the key right now. We can't just be quiet. We have to have alternatives to get the message out to people about the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Jesse, I don't know. I saw an article that you sent for the show about Joe Biden, and it was really disturbing. You want to wait for that? I want to make sure we get the cover.
We're going to cover. Let me just mention one more thing about that, then we'll jump over to the unelected president.
Yeah.
Yeah. live actions, this video about a baby Olivia ad.
Oh, yeah.
Google said it violated Google's policies.
Really?
They didn't allow the ad to run. And the fact is, Lila Rose said on Tuesday afternoon, she said this, by restricting scientific information related to the abortion pill reversal and other life-saving options, while accepting paid ads, Google accepts paid ads promoting life-ending abortions, Google has chosen to operate by an outrageously dishonest and blatant double standard.
Well said.
Yeah. There's basically one law that applies to the left and one law that applies to people that tick on the right. She says, the consequence is devastating. More women and girls will be marketed.
That's right.
Will be marketed abortions through Google platforms without also being offered life-affirming options. And finally, Rose said that Google disingenuously cited unreliable claims as why they banned the promotion of the abortion pill reversal ad. They added in a tweet, she said that live actions abortion pill reversal ads had been previously approved by Google and had been running for over 4 months, spending over $170,000 and directing 100% of moms to the abortion pill reversal hotline.
Saving lives.
Yeah, this woman, she's an amazing young woman.
Yep.
The last thing I'll say about this isn't anything new, Terry.
No.
There's a Hollywood stuntman who put out a video called Out of Shadows Official. You can watch it on the internet. And in there, he documents that there are six companies, basically six billionaires, that own just about 90% of the media. I'm going to repeat that again. There's about six billionaires and their companies that own almost all of 90% of the media. All you got to do is go on the internet and just type into what I just said,
yep,
and you'll see all these articles, both on the left and the right, affirming what I said. And you know who warned us that this day would come, that the left would try to control the media to control us? Somebody that I wouldn't agree with on most things, probably. His name was Malcolm X.
Yep.
He was a religious activist for the Black Nation of Islam. He was killed February 25th, 1965. They still don't know who his killer is, because, again, once he started speaking out against liberals, all of a sudden, oh, he's dead. What happened to him? Here's what he said, Malcolm X. The media's the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power, because they control the minds of the masses. The press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. If you aren't careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing.
Well said.
Wise words from Malcolm X.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he died in 1965. He was assassinated.
Yep.
And all I can say is, Terry, this is the way the media, they're manufacturing a mass psychosis amongst people because they control 90% of the media.
And Jesse, not only the media, the New York governor, Kathy Hochul, says this on Wednesday, that she's planning to help Texas women have abortions in New York. She's came out on the 24th of August saying this, and that here's what she says. You're not alone, ladies. We're going to help you. We're going to go. We're looking at ways of getting you transportation to come to New York. She's not saying this, but to kill their baby. That's what she's doing. She said her administration is creating a patient bill of rights, including information on abortion providers, legal rights, abortion care. In addition, the state's health department will consult. Are you ready for this? With experts from where? Pro-life? No. Pro-abortion groups, creating a guidance document in New York. These experts include, yes, Planned Parenthood, the National Abortion Federation, the National Institute of Reproductive Health, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists. The state health department will also work to increase killing more babies. This is what we're up against. Not only the media, but we have people in, you know, states with, like New York, governors like California, who want to kill more future citizens of their state. This is just ludicrous, and we have to fight that every inch we can.
And I'll tell you why. Because there's two teams in the world. Sons of Satan, 1 John 3:10, and the left loves, they love death.
Absolutely.
That's why St. John Paul II called them the culture of death, and Cardinal Raymond Burr called the Democrats the party of death.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Joe Biden's lineage, about his family connections. And when you hear this, you'll say, well, why does he get away with that and others don't? You'll find out why when we come back with the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is with us with Jess. And this is an interesting topic because President Biden, the way it says, is about to be canceled after what just came out about his family. I said, what's that about? Well, it pointed out that Biden's great-great-grandfather, Jesse Rabet, was enslaved two people in Maryland in the 1800 census, another third great-grandfather. So he's got a lineage of relatives who had slaves. Now, isn't that interesting? Father Murr, what are your thoughts about that?
Restitution.
Oh, there you go. That's where it comes. So is he going to give half of his wealth away back to...
I think he has to. I think this is only fair and just. I've got a confession to make.
Yeah.
I used to think that none of my relatives were involved in this, so it was easy to speak. However, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I had a grandfather who was a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a piece of work, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he came from Texas. His family owned slaves.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until I was about 12, 13 years old. And the family, his brother, the oldest in the family, and his father, the name was Cassius, first name, middle name Clay.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And the slaves took the master's middle name for their own.
Really?
Last name, all right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems that, and then I heard Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali,
of course,
talk years ago that his family came from Texas.
Oh, no.
So now, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I also will pledge to give half of everything I own. I will. And I feel like Chico Marx on Marx Brothers film. He said,
right.
I don't have anything, but you can always have half.
Yeah.
Right? But I think yes, I think Joe Biden owes half to compensate for this. This is a terrible thing for his family to have done, and I think it's only fair that he take care of that business.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm even bringing this up, because this guy talks about, you know, being, you know, Mr. Just and civil rights and all
right.
this stuff.
Right.
You know, if you got skeletons in your closet, you shouldn't be bringing these things up. That's my only point. All of us have family members that have done things that are sinful.
Of course.
And we can't do anything about that. But maybe Joe Biden should have looked into his past, into his recent past, before he comes out, you know, like he does, like a gangbuster, with his whole critical race theory and calling people, you know, white privilege and all that. Because he's all in on the left's rhetoric on this Marxist cultural division of seeing everything through the lenses of race. Maybe he should have looked at his background a little bit before he jumped into that fight.
You think, Jesse? It's a double standard. I use another analogy with Larry Elder, who was running to become our next governor of California. When we talked about it last week, a white lady was throwing eggs at him, a black man, but because he was conservative, there were no problems, okay? Now, it's a double standard, because let's take an example of somebody threw eggs at the governor, Newsom, who's our governor. Do you think that would have been okay? No, they would have arrested that lady right on the spot. I just don't like double standards, and that's what I see with Biden, Jess.
Yeah, and my problem is, well, the article's pretty specific. It says, West Virginia genealogist Alexander Bannerman and presidential lineage expert Gary Boyd Roberts co-authored an article in 2021 winter issue of American Ancestors, laying out their findings in exploring Joe Biden's family tree. Bannerman and Roberts found that two of Biden's ancestors were slave owners.
Yes.
So in an article in Politico, the article says, quote, he pointed to Biden's great-grandfather, Jesse Robinette, who enslaved two people in Allegheny County, Maryland, in the 1800 census. Another third great-grandfather, Thomas Randall, enslaved the 14-year-old male in the first district of Baltimore County, Maryland, in 1850. He said, citing census records and slave schedules, which were separate headcounts of slaves conducted alongside the census in 1850. My only point for bringing this up is for this reason. The article says, imagine the woke left wants to cancel George Washington.
That's the key.
And Thomas Jefferson, mm-hmm. because they were slave owners.
What about him?
Yeah. So that's the point that I'm. What the left claimed was a campaign to tear down Confederate statues,
yep.
predictably morphed into a campaign to erase all of American history. Well, Joe Biden's family legacy of owning slaves. Are they going to tear him down, rip him out of the White House? What are they going to do?
Of course.
And it says, and when Joe Biden eventually leaves office, it's doubtful the woke left will push to rename schools after him or put up monuments in his honor. So here's my problem.
What's that?
Again, there's a double standard. If you tick to the right, you know, George Washington, tear down his statue because you own slaves. But what about Joe Biden and his family? Nothing. And what about Kamala? She gets a pass. Kamala Harris. The father of Kamala Harris, his name is Donald Harris. He's a Stanford University professor, retired. He actually wrote an article on this. It's called Reflections of a Jamaican Father.
That's right.
He admits, mm-hmm. my ancestors in Jamaica, we own black slaves.
That's right.
So in fact, it didn't go that far. But he says my paternal grandmother.
Right. Right.
That's not that far. So our president and vice president, who are all about this woke culture, yeah, let them tear down statues. Yeah, white privilege and all that. These people are the epitome of hypocrisy. This is right in their family tree, not even that far.
Yeah, well said. Father Mar, I want to just also say, this is consistent with liberal people like our governor of New York. When he goes out and eats at restaurants and not, dealing with the lockdown for him. So what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander in a lot of these liberal circles. What are your thoughts, Father Murr?
I just go back to something you were talking about before, even with the abortion mm-hmm. issue and with this.
Yeah.
And with this. It's all the same. How can they use the term pro-choice?
Yeah. How?
In anything.
I agree.
Because they're not pro-choice. No. There is a choice they've made, and that's it. And if you're not in agreement with them, marching to the same step, you're out.
Exactly.
Well, where's the choice? Yeah. This is it's absurd.
Well, with the genetic wording, you know, like product of conception, they're masters at changing the words to be more palatable to people's ears. But
yes,
when you really look at it, this is what Dr. Bernard Nathanson said, you know, in his memoirs, that we have to change the narrative to make it more palatable for people's ears. And they did just that.
Father and Terry, but because the left controls the media, they can get away with anything.
Oh,
because
anything.
If some of these statements or this some of this evidence came out, imagine if they found out that Donald Trump had slaves in his family.
Oh,
we would have found about that. We would have found out about that 8 years ago. But look at the stuff. Look at the stuff that the left gets away with. Lyndon B. President Lyndon B. Johnson, who's the creator of the so-called Great Society, here's what he said that would happen as a result of the Great Society. This is a sitting president. He says this about blacks. He says, quote, "I'll have those ends voting Democratic for the next 200 years.
That's a fact, Jesse. Well documented.
Yeah. What about Bill Clinton?
Oh, yeah.
He said this about Barack Obama. He goes, a few years ago, Barack Obama would have been getting us coffee. He said that he was with Ted Kennedy when they're looking at Barack Obama giving a speech. He was, you know, jealous. He said, man, this guy knows how to talk. He's got good, you know, oration skills. And he's with Ted Kennedy. He looked up at him with a hot mic and he says, a few years ago, that guy up there would have been getting us coffee. What about Senator Harry Reid? He said this about Barack Obama when he was running for president. He says, wow. A light-skinned African-American Obama with no Negro dialect, unless he wants to have one, of course. And what about Joe Biden, what he said about Barack Obama when he was running for president? He goes, you got the first mainstream African-American who's articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
He cleans up real well.
Good Lord. I'm just telling you, the Democrats have done a marvelous job of revisionist history.
And Jesse, who was in charge of the was the Ku Klux Klan? Who ran that? What group ran that?
They came out of the Southern Democrat Party,
true.
The Ku Klux Klan. And the fact, again, the Democrat Party created the KKK.
That's right.
After the Confederacy defeat in the Civil War. Again, the Democrats have just done a good job about lying and convincing Americans that they're the party of civil rights. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're the party of slavery. They're the party of secession. They're the party of segregation. Yep. They're the party of Jim Crow laws. And now they're the party of same-sex marriage.
And Jesse, Martin Luther King said,
forget death.
Oh, death, yeah. Martin Luther King said this, that, you know, when are you going to judge a man on his character, not the color of his skin? The truth has no color. Let's be honest, gentlemen. Yeah. That needs to be broadcast all over, because what's happening right now is people are being lied to.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, brother. And I'll tell you, even right now, I'm going to say something. I heard a broadcast yesterday that I think it was in New York. 80% of people, or 70, a high percentage of Caucasian people are vaxxed. Hispanics, a lot less. Something like 40% of Hispanics are vaxxed, and blacks,
there's
something like 20%.
Yeah. Well, they've been abused before.
Everywhere in every state.
That's right.
If they're going to start, trying to corral us and make a two-class citizen, vax and unvax, I'm going to tell you, most of the blacks in most states are rejecting the vax because they remember that they were experimented on in 1930. Mm-hmm. It was called the Tuskegee experiment.
That's right.
And a lot of them, their fathers and parents have said, don't take that jab. We remember what happened to us in 1930 to 1970.
Yeah, well said. Jesse, I want to end with the five stones of King David, because that is the key for us here at Virgin Most Powerful. We want to make sure that we pray every day. We get to Mass as often as possible. We visit the Blessed Sacrament. You're not on the team if you're not praying your daily rosary, because Our Lady said that. Pray the rosary for peace and get the confession. If you get the confession on a regular basis, what's a regular basis? Once a month. That's what we want to do to stay close to Jesus, because all these other issues that we're talking about, if we don't get to heaven, everything else is a loss. So don't let any of this get in the way with your relationship with Jesus Christ, because remember who we worship on that cross. It's Jesus Christ.
All these topics will not amount to a hill of beans if you die and go to hell.
That's right, Jess.
Remember, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Father, how about a blessing for our listeners?
Absolutely. Blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, descend upon you and remain forever. Amen.
Amen. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of sanctifying grace. That's the only state to live in. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Terry.
Up next, the Bible with the Barbers. You heard from my wife earlier in the show. You won't miss it. She's going to be giving a Bible study here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you don't have it on your station, go to VMPR's website, download the free app. May God richly bless you and your family.